everybody. Bill Buckmaster along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. Tom engineering and producing the show. And together we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show on a very hot afternoon for approaching late November. It's Wednesday, November the 18th, 2020. Tom, if you had told me, well, I guess at the beginning of the year that in late November we'd be talking about low 90s, I'd say you're crazy, but this will be the hottest day ever recorded so late in the year in Tucson. Just unbelievable.
It's ridiculous.
Can we send Mr. High Pressure packing somewhere? I mean, high pressure goes away for a couple of days, get back to, you know, almost normal, and then he's back. I'm sick of him.
Me too.
Hopefully we won't see much.
Send him up north where he'll create a lot of cold temperatures rather than hot temperatures down here.
You bet. 2020 it is, yes. Bringing folks together on the radio and the green things, Zocalo Village Studio. We're on 1030, Tucson's Voice for Trusted News Talk. Worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. We piggyback the live feed from kvoi.com. The Buckmaster Show live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Well, at the University of Arizona, they're using two types of tests. These are the tests that are typically offered to students and employees to detect the presence of COVID-19, both the quick turnaround antigen test and what's called the PCR test rely on a nasal swab to collect a sample. But for those who dread a stick up the nose, one University of Arizona researcher is hoping to add another tool to the university's testing arsenal, one that relies instead on a simple salt water rinse and gargle. Let's find out about it by going now on the live line to Dr. Michael Warraby, head of the Department of Ecology and Evolutionary Biology at the University of Arizona. He specializes in the evolution of viruses. Michael, how are you?
I'm good. Good to be back with you, Bill.
Thank you. This test sounds so much more palatable than the old stick up the nose. Tell me a little bit about what was the evolution of this test? How did you hear about it? And how did you decide to actually try to implement it?
Yeah, I think it's just a lot more tolerable. And I think we might see it kind of replace the deep nasal swab. And so there are already alternatives out there. So ASU is using saliva tests. Yale University also developed a saliva test. And that one is good in some ways. It doesn't rely on a healthcare worker getting up close and personal and sticking something in your face. You take your own sample. But it takes a long time for some people to produce enough saliva. A few weeks ago, I was reading a preprint, which is a pre-publication of a scientific result before it's peer-reviewed, sort of instant access to something that someone has found. A group up in British Columbia did a test on several people where they did paired samples where you do the healthcare worker nasopharyngeal swab, this deep swab up the nose, and then the PCR test. And that at the same time, they collected both a saltwater rinse and gargle sample and a saliva sample. And they looked at all three. And it turned out that the saltwater rinse had about the same sensitivity in their study as the deep swab. And the saliva sample was actually the worst of all. And so as soon as I saw that, I thought, well, I've got to try this here. And so I started enrolling people in a study at the University of Arizona, people in the isolation dorms who'd already tested positive with the antigen test, and also faculty, staff, and students showing up at campus health who didn't know whether they were infected or not. And I just put the nasopharyngeal swab head-to-head with this saltwater rinse, just a mouthful of sterile saltwater. You rinse it around your mouth for 5 seconds, gargle it for 10 seconds, repeat two more times, and then I take the samples back to my lab and run this PCR test that detects the genetic signature of the virus. And to my surprise, the saliva or the saline gargle sample actually really outperformed the deep nasopharyngeal swab. You pick up about 20% more infections with this much more, as you say, palatable way of collecting the samples.
Do you have to create this thing, or is there anybody commercially doing this?
There's no one that I know of commercially doing it, but we're doing now. So my pilot study established that this thing works like gangbusters. And, you know, just talking to the people who were willing to enroll in this study and give the samples to a person, you know, they were like, yeah, no problem. I'll do the saltwater rinse. That's no big deal. And then when I said, could you also do this deep nasal thing? They were like, okay, well, sure, but I sure wish I didn't have to. So it really is getting past this obstacle that the nasopharyngeal swab puts up. And so what we're doing now, there's a clinical lab at the university that does the diagnostic testing for actual patients, where you can get an official diagnosis. Yes, you have the virus. They've been using the nasopharyngeal swab so far, but what we're doing now is we're validating with the samples I've collected, and we think we've got enough data to actually now switch over, and we'll probably switch over, starting first with a pilot program with student athletes, and then moving to larger groups of the student and potentially faculty and staff population. And we're excited because this thing has so many advantages. It's more tolerable, and it's safer for the people who are dealing with the people who are being tested. You don't expose healthcare workers to the virus, and it's cheaper. It costs a lot less than the antigen test that we're using. On the other hand, it does take a little bit longer to get the results than the antigen test. And so we'll probably still use both tests, but we're excited about this new technology.
For our particular region, with our very warm temperatures and this time of year, unusually warm, does the saltwater gargle have a better pathway, do you think, for an extremely dry climate?
Yeah, speaking for myself, certainly compared to the saliva test that ASU and Yale and other places are using, it's hard to produce enough saliva in a dry climate like this. And the saltwater gargle just takes care of that. You instantly put 5 milliliters of this saltwater in your mouth, rinse it around, it picks up the saliva. And also when you gargle it, I think it gets back into that area of your throat it's that same area that you try to get back to with the deep nasopharyngeal nasal swab, and gargling just sort of painlessly gets back to that same sample.
Michael,
same area.
Michael, do you see this being the go-to test at the University of Arizona?
I think it's going to be a big part of what we do. I think the antigen test is still going to play a role because it's nice to get such quick results. But I think it's great that we're going to be able. I think we'll be the first place in the U.S. To be using this saline gargle technology, and I think we'll see it start playing a big role in lots of places, not just in the U.S., but around the world.
Michael, stick around. I want to talk about all this exciting news with vaccines and now this news that the immune system may actually fight off the COVID-19 for years, according to a new study. So I've got more for you, Michael, but first, I want to talk about the upcoming holidays and Mona's Danish Bakery. Michael, when it comes to holiday pies, do you have a preference?
I like pumpkin pie.
Okay, then that seems to be the traditional choice, and Steve can certainly accommodate you at Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Mona's taking orders right now for the holidays. Check them out, monasdanishbakery.com. Put in your order for your pies, your holiday table dinner rolls. This is the time to do it right now as the holidays quickly close in on us. Open for breakfast, lunch, and of course they do carryouts. Northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise. I'll see you up at Mona's Danish Bakery. Again, northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise, monasdanishbakery.com to put in your order for the holidays. Be right back.
Here at Bon Voyage Travel, we encourage you to keep the travel spark alive by exploring the world through our weekly webinar series that includes inspiration and insight from some of the top leaders in the travel industry. When you're ready to plan your next adventure, know that Bon Voyage Travel will be here to advise and assist. Join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for a new virtual destination discovery. While we're apart, let's keep dreaming together. Visit bvtravel.com for more information.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at VeroAmorePizza.com. A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is in the process of developing a new 20-year regional transportation plan and soon will consider which projects best address transportation needs across the greater Tucson region. As part of its ongoing public outreach, the RTA invites your early input on which projects meet regional goals. Learn more about plan development and provide input at rtanext.com.
Repark Zoo is now open for wildlife walks, a modified guest experience prioritizing safety. To find out more about all the changes and the new safety precautions now in place, visit reparkzoo.org. The community-approved 10-year master plan ensures your zoo's future is brighter than ever before. We've missed you, and so have the animals. They're waiting to welcome you back to the Repark Zoo.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. The Buckmaster Show Live Line is presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. We continue now our discussion with Dr. Michael Warraby, head of the University of Arizona Department of Ecology and Evolutionary Biology, specializing in the evolution of viruses. Michael, were you surprised how effective these two vaccines by Pfizer and the Moderna vaccine, What was your reaction to an over 90% effective rate, close to 95% apparently?
Yeah, both. It looks like both are around 95%. I'm so happy about this. I'm not actually surprised. I've been following this messenger RNA vaccine technology, which has been being developed for several years now, and there's been some really nice early sort of developmental work with influenza vaccines with the same technology that have looked really promising. That platform has a way of creating a really strong immune response, and I kind of thought that we might see this kind of efficacy, and there it is. We are in a position now that things are really going to improve, and the world is going to get back to much, much closer to normal in a while. And that's the key thing is we've got several months here of danger between now and when the promise of that 95% efficacy of these vaccines is going to come to fruition. Those vaccines are not going to be rolled out to enough people this winter to really make a huge difference. And so we still have to rely on these methods, this behavioral methods like wearing masks and social distancing, not gathering in large groups at Thanksgiving and Christmas, as annoying and inconvenient as that is. We're in a much better position than we were a couple weeks ago before we had this news.
Michael, I'm going to ask you to explain as simply as possible the new messenger technique. How does this platform differ than the traditional way of coming up with a vaccine? Could you explain that to our listeners?
Sure. So when your immune system encounters a foreign protein, it mounts an immune response. So cells of your immune system that are just sitting around waiting to see if they bind and respond to something foreign kick into action and start once they bind to that foreign antigen, as that protein is called. They start producing things like antibodies, which are proteins that our own cells make that then cover the foreign protein. And if that foreign protein, for example, is on the outside of a virus, your immune system is now creating counter weapons that coat the virus and block it from entering your cells. So that's the basic way your immune system works normally. A vaccine typically tries to emulate that natural process by delivering a protein to your body. So you will take a protein of this new coronavirus, for example, the spike protein, which is it's actually the protein that gives coronaviruses their name. Corona means crown, and under a microscope, the spike proteins on the outside of the virus look like a kind of crown. So if you just give someone some of that spike protein, their body will recognize it as a foreign protein and produce antibodies and other immune responses. This new technology, what it does is goes one step back from the protein, and it actually just gives your body the genetic instructions for creating the protein. And this is messenger RNA. And your body, once it is delivered the genetic instructions for the protein, in this case, the spike protein of the virus, almost magically starts interpreting those instructions and producing the protein itself. So It's just like the traditional vaccine. You end up with the protein of the virus. But in this case, instead of just directly giving the protein to someone in a vaccine, you give the genetic instructions and your body does the rest and produces the protein itself. And that seems to produce a really, really strong response.
This could be a big game changer, this technology, what it could mean for other viruses like influenza. Will this be kind of the messenger RNA be the go-to platform?
I do believe that we're going to see this platform become really, really ubiquitous for not just viruses like influenza that we already know about, but the beauty of this technology is that you can go from discovering a new virus. So there are going to be future pandemics, unfortunately. And this new technology, this messenger RNA technology, allows you to go from a patient who shows up with a new virus. The next day, you can sequence the genome of that virus, and you now have the genetic instructions that you need to produce a vaccine. And so literally in a matter of days for future pandemics with this new platform of messenger RNA vaccines, we'll be able to go from discovery of a new virus to a vaccine. And that's what happened in this case. It was just a matter of weeks between the first genome sequence of this virus being discovered and the new messenger RNA vaccine candidates being developed.
This is such exciting stuff. Is there a father or a mother of this invention, the messenger RNA? And if so, I would think that individual would be in line for certainly a Nobel Peace Prize.
You are absolutely right. So the person who I think will get the Nobel Prize for this is a woman named Caitlin Carrico. She spent years trying to develop this technology, and it was a case where she kept writing grant proposals, and they kept getting rejected. She didn't get tenure. People kept saying, this is a dead end. This will never work. Your immune system will not tolerate delivery of messenger RNA. She then collaborated with a guy named Drew Weissman, and they came up with a way to modify the messenger RNA chemically so that your immune system can handle it. It's now led to this. That Moderna, which is one of the companies that has created this vaccine, is worth many, many billions of dollars. And this so-called dead end that people discouraged Dr. Carrico from pursuing 20 years ago is now poised to change the way we do medicine.
And it's amazing how effective, apparently, this vaccine is across all ages.
Well, you know, we'll see. We still don't have enough data across all age groups to really know how it's going to perform, particularly in the elderly age group that is most at risk. But again, this potent immune response that this platform delivers, I think, is promising, and that still is a key thing that we don't know. It's possible that this vaccine will be very efficacious across the whole population, but not as efficacious in just the very age group, the older people that you want it to be efficacious in. If that's the case, it's still not. There's still a really good use of the virus, where if you vaccinate the whole population, the efficacy in the younger age group then is a shield and protects indirectly the older people from getting the virus.
Michael, I've only have really less than 30 seconds. Side effects seem to be okay on this one, or what are we hearing?
Yeah, so far the side effects have been tolerable. Mild things like a little bit of redness or swelling at injection site, a little bit of fever in some people. There have been no severe side effects in either of these mRNA vaccine platforms that have been found to date. The companies will keep monitoring as they roll this out to more people, but so far, so good.
What an exciting time for your particular business, Michael. Thank you very much.
It is exciting, and it's. I really appreciate that being on your show again, Bill.
Thank you very much, Michael. Dr. Michael Warraby is the head of the University of Arizona's Department of Ecology and Evolutionary Biology, specializing in the evolution of viruses. And this, folks, is really, really exciting stuff that is happening with what is called messenger RNA. All right, Buckmaster, at the mid-show point, one of my favorite authors is coming up next, so stick around. We'll be back on Buckmaster on this Wednesday midweek edition in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD. Noble Hops in Oro Valley is now open to welcome guests for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Noble Hops menu items are available for you, your family, and friends. So check out Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and on the web at noblehopspub.com.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things, Zocalo Village Studios, Green Things, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River. Just west of the Brandy Fenton Park, you will find all of your holiday needs over there, including they have thousands of poinsettias in really some beautiful colors. It's available. They're all available for you right now at Green Things. Their 13-acre site is also home to Zocalo and some beautiful merchandise for the holidays from Mexico and Latin America. Some of these handmade tin-crafted Christmas trees from Mexico would look very, very impressive for you on your holiday table. Come tour the five shops at Zocalo Village. It's greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. The Buckmaster Show Live Line, presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Next up, a conversation with one of my favorite writers. His name is Tom Zollner, a professor of English at Chapman University. Tom's a former reporter for the Arizona Republic. He's a graduate of Canyon del Oro High School right here in Tucson. His latest book is titled The National Road, Dispatches from a Changing America. A couple of months ago, Tom was on the show talking about his other new book titled Island on Fire, along with the two new books. Tom Zollner is author of five previous books, including A Safeway in Arizona, which chronicles the Tucson shooting tragedy and assassination attempt on then-Congresswoman Gabby Giffords, which is coming up on the 10-year anniversary that will be coming up on January 8th, 2011. Tom, how are you?
Very good, Bill. Thanks for having me today.
Tom, it is hard to believe, isn't it, coming up on 10 years of the anniversary of the Tucson shooting tragedy. Now Gabby is returning to Washington, this time as the wife of a United States senator. Who would have thought, huh?
In a sense, I don't think Tucson will ever fully recover from what happened. Although, in some sense, Mark Kelly's election was inevitable. It was a result, as every listener here knows, about the changing demographics of Arizona and the shift, which now seems nothing's ever permanent, but it does seem like it's going to be an immovable force for the Republicans to contend with.
Why do you say, Tom, that you're not sure that Tucson will ever recover from that shooting?
I mean, what an obscenity it was. What an absolute disaster, a catastrophe. It was preventable. It was a result of many social forces that were in the air and to some degree still persist. It's like a car accident of history. And, you know, certainly Gabby will never be the same. And those who knew her, I think, will also themselves not be the same.
Tom, two books coming out in a matter of months. Is that some kind of quirk of the publishing gods? What happened there?
Yeah, that was the sliding doors of publishing.
Weird.
It happened that way. Very weird. And unfortunately, it all came together in the pandemic year. So these books may be lost books. Maybe they'll be discovered by future archivists.
Boy, I sure hope not, because I am a sucker for a good road book. And I wanted to talk to me a little bit about the genesis of the American Road. How did this develop?
Yeah, these are essays, 14 of them, all about various subjects, but they all kind of come back to the awareness of the United States, the inescapability of geography, that where we live determines so much about us. And also the paradox that geography has become an abstraction for many because of the internet. They're able to work anywhere, as certainly the pandemic has accelerated that trend. But for others, geography becomes even more important because you're simply unable to move.
We're still talking about it, certainly, in wake of the election geography, aren't we?
We are. And out of that election, you know, we saw something really compelling happening, which has been happening for a while, which is the separatist element, geographic separatism inherent in the electoral map. We had 477 counties who voted for Joe Biden. Their industries are largely founded on financial services, you know, on knowledge-based industries, on IT. And then we had some 2,900 counties in the United States that that voted for the incumbent. And those economies, if you look at those counties, are agriculture, mining, and manufacturing. But yet, 70% of the U.S. GDP comes from counties that voted for Biden. And so, you know, the American togetherness, which began to come apart, I think, in the early 80s, thanks to the Reagan-era tax cuts, you know, that gulf is widening, and we know each other less as Americans than we used to.
Tom, let's hit the road. What do you say with my favorite essay from the book? This is the chapter titled "The Drive from the American Highway." Share with us some of the opening sentences, please, from that.
Yeah, anyone who is in possession of a car and. You know, I grew up in Tucson, Arizona, where a car is absolutely indispensable for getting around town, as everyone listening knows. And my driver's license, obtained at the age of 16, was a badge of freedom. And so I don't think there was a street in Tucson that I did not drive on at one time. So the essay that you referenced begins this way. Into the car and away, away to the next valley, over the ridge, away to the next town, to the next exit, the unknown lump of color around the turn in the road, just out of sight, leading and receding. Into the car, into the country. Here's where I feel most at ease and have since the age of majority, propped upright and relaxed at the wheel, the country spinning alongside outside the windows.
Give me another sentence, because I like this next paragraph, actually.
Sure. There is little I love more than the spell of a motorized land journey, a languorous day, a vague forward-looking destination in mind, and a full tank of gas. If there is an opportunity to fly, I will not take it unless the schedule makes it mandatory. I've crossed and recrossed the breadth of the United States alone, more or less coast to coast, at least 30 times in the course of 20 years, and I've made hundreds of lesser partial journeys across all 48 contiguous lower states in the bargain. Feeling some unspecified hunger to lay down a coat of invisible paint.
Wow. You are a well-traveled guy in this country. You've seen a lot of this. Are there some areas that you've not journeyed to, Tom Zollner?
I've not been to Alaska.
Hmm. Well, you got to do that because...
That's on the list.
And we'll talk about that after the break, about your love of reaching the peaks of each state's highest point. You're going to have quite a challenge on when you hit Denali.
No kidding. That's going to take 2 weeks and about $30,000 paid out to an expedition company.
All right, Tom, stick around. We're going to take a break right here. We'll be back with Tom Zollner talking about his latest effort, his latest book. It's all coming up next. The book is The American Road. We'll be right back on Buckmaster and the Green Things, Zocalo Village Studios. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. In preparation for developing a new 20-year regional transportation plan, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for the draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. This portion of the program presented by our friends over in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, just a 3-hour drive from the Tucson area. Start your planning now so you'll be ready when New Mexico once again opens to out-of-state visitors. Southwest New Mexico, spelled out, .org is the place to go for great places to stay, ideas on things to do, and there are plenty of ideas over in New Mexico. The Buckmaster Show Live Line, presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. We continue now with our conversation with one of my favorite writers, Tom Zollner. He's a professor of English over at Chapman University. He's a former reporter for the Arizona Republic, and he's a Tucson guy. He graduated from Canyon del Oro High School. His latest book is titled The National Road, Dispatches from a Changing America. Tom was sharing with us in the first segment that he has crisscrossed this country dozens of times. Tom, you know, I was just talking about New Mexico. They do such a great job with all their roadside historical markers, the very distinctive kind of marker, kind of a little wooden, it's once you see one, you know it and you look for it, and there are places along the road. Arizona doesn't do so well, do they?
They do not, and you're quite right to applaud New Mexico for their excellent job at roadside narration. The best ones in the country are in Kansas. The worst, I regret to say, are in Pennsylvania. They just give you a couple of sentence fragments over things that are really quite important and shouldn't be lost.
And it's a state with so much.
So much that happened, yes.
So
absolutely.
Much history.
And Bill, if I may interject, I want to compliment you on your choice of bumper music.
Thank you.
That is to say, Donald Fagen's immortal song, IGY, International Geophysical Year, which lays out such a hopeful vision of the United States. And, you know, I'd like to think that even though we're in a time of great trouble, Bill, that this book does lay out an optimistic vision, which is, you know, somewhat contrary to the darker visions outlined by Bruce Ash and others who sometimes come out of your show.
Of course, Bruce is a regular here on the program with his part of our Monday political face-off. Bruce is on every other week. And I know you've known Bruce a long time. You guys are friends.
Well, we've been on opposite sides of things, and, you know, some of his opinions make my face go red and my knuckles go white, and there you go. I think we have different visions of what the country ought to be, but, you know, I salute the tradition of civil discussion that's exemplified on your show.
Thank you very much, Tom. What about Mormonism? That plays an interesting role in your book. A little bit surprised about it, but then when I thought about it, we were talking about preserving history, the way states try to chronicle. Some do a much better job than others, but Mormonism, they take their history pretty seriously, don't they?
Very seriously. And what intrigues me about the LDS Church, I'm not a member, I should add, is that they have a cosmology that's sanctified the American continent. And, you know, a lot of this had to do with the formation of the faith, the prophet Joseph Smith, you know, pretty much anything that came into his vision, he found a kind of ancient cosmological place for it. And, you know, in the Book of Mormon. And it's hard to grow up in Arizona. It's hard to even live in Arizona without knowing someone who is a member of the church. And so it is an absolutely fascinating story. And, you know, as I say, I'm not an adherent to the faith, but, you know, to understand the Mormon worldview, I think is to really glimpse an important piece of the United States.
You know, I just was thinking about something about from your book about teardowns and reflecting on my own area, a beautiful area of the North Shore of Chicago, Wellmette, Illinois, where we have so many beautiful, beautiful old homes. But they're tearing down so many of these beautiful old structures to put up something, I guess, you know, they want a modern home there. And something similar kind of happened up in Scottsdale, didn't it?
Yeah, my family came to Arizona before it was a state and acquired land under the Homestead Act, which was unfarmable. We lost it to taxes during the Depression, as many families did, and maintained an acre of it in what happened to be Paradise Valley. And so, you know, my family's working class. We were quite poor, and all these McMansions started going up, you know. Old story in Arizona around the 60s and 70s. And finally, we let go of the last piece of the land, and our hand-built adobe house was destroyed. And I was given the opportunity to come watch that that being done, which I don't regret doing it, but it was uniquely painful. And I think many of us who have had this experience of having seen property of theirs be destroyed for something new, in this case, in my view, something tacky, you know, as many of the new constructions around suburban Phoenix are, you know, it's an Arizona story very much. But, you know, it's also the story of the relentless charge of the United States, which may or may not remember its own history.
Tom, what's the deal with climbing the highest peak in each state?
Kind of quirky. I mean, I hope some KBOI listeners here have ascended Humphreys Peak. It's an unforgettable experience, and I think we're all familiar with that wonderful view of the mountain that comes into your vista when you take that last approach on I-17 into Flagstaff. It's, you know, Arizona's version of Mount Doom from The Lord of Rings. It's, you know, this wonderful conical mountain, considered, of course, sacred by the Navajo Nation. And, you know, I did that many years ago, but I also set out to climb the highest points in all 50 states, just as sort of a patriotic gesture, you might say. And so I'm up to 44. I got Denali, that's still to do, as you noted. Florida's in there as well, which will be considerably less difficult.
Yeah, Florida's what, 1,100 feet?
315 maybe? Feet.
Oh, 315.
Yeah, you barely even notice it. It's a roadside park on the way to Alabama.
Now, do these states, do they note the highest point, or is that, or do some completely ignore it?
No, all of them take notice. And, you know, it's a kind of, if you'll excuse the expression, a bit of secular holiness. Religions the world round, you know, have sort of exalted mountains, both in literalness and also in symbolism, you know, the mountaintop experience. This is in the New Testament, of course. And so there's a kind of a specialness. Even if you're not religious, there's a tendency to be contemplative, you know, about where you are, you know, this concentrated essence of an entire state.
One good thing did happen to the Buckmasters during 2020 was getting a chance to take a close-up look at Mount Rainier. It's very interesting, Tom. Perhaps you realize this, that only one in four visitors actually that go to the park ever get to see the mountain. So we were lucky that we were there for a couple of days and enjoyed it very much, and there was something very spiritual about looking at the big mountain.
Yeah. In the indigenous language, the original name for Rainier is the mountain that used to be God. Mm. And so, yeah, there's a reason why these places serve as metaphors or masks. You know, the pasteboard mask, as Herman Melville memorably put it.
What do you want to do next? I mean, you've crisscrossed the country so much. What's next on the agenda, Tom Zollner?
Wow, that is a great question. I'm happy to say I'm working with the University of Arizona Press on a series of essays about the Grand Canyon State. Ideally, should see release in 2023. It's called Rim to River, A Journey to the Heart of Arizona.
Was that, did you do the trip where you, from the border in the south all the way up to the northern border of the state?
Other way around, actually. Utah to Mexico,
yes.
Mostly following the route of the Arizona Trail, which is an absolutely wonderful thing that we have in our state. It's a southwestern version of the Appalachian Trail. I highly recommend doing portions of it. And the one, you know, both north and south of the Gabe Zimmerman Trailhead, you know, out there near Vail,
sure,
is available to every Tucsonan.
Okay, Tom, I love the book, and it's titled The National Road, Dispatches from a Changing America, available on Amazon and everywhere else. Fine books are sold, including some pretty good bookstores, correct?
Yeah, it can be ordered really from any online distributor, and I think Antigone carries it. And yeah, thank you.
Tom, I like your work very much. Keep it up, and thank you. All the best to you for the holiday season, Tom.
Always a pleasure to be here, Bill, and you as well.
Thank you very much. Tom Zollner with us, the author. His new book, The National Road, Dispatches from a Changing America. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show Midweek Edition. On behalf of my buddy Tom Fairbanks, making sure all the buttons are pushed, I guess, in the way they should be. We hope you have a great afternoon. Take it easy, everybody.